We all know, it's kind of stereotypical at this point, that a new year can mean new beginnings. It can mean new paths. It can mean new directions. It means changes. And we also know that that word change in the church world has also kind of become a stereotype of sounding intimidating. But the reality is, we change all the time. We make changes all the time. It may not necessarily be change that we are so apprehensive about or don't like, but it's being changed, having change placed upon us. And yet, we worship a Lord who is all about change. That's the entire reason Christ is born, the whole reason for the season, transformation. Christ is born in a time and a place where the Israelites, and of course everyone else at that time, are forced by the Roman Empire to register themselves for taxation, a symptom of the oppression the lower class suffered. And in the midst of this, God incarnates in the world through birth and into humanity. And then the family has to leave. As we find in Matthew 2, now after they had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night and went to Egypt. Because the empire had caught wind of the birth of this Savior through King Herod, Joseph, who never says a word, is told by an angel of the Lord to get up. Get up and go. So they leave the town of Bethlehem, a representation of both the people and their faith, and they flee to Egypt to take refuge. And for 2 years, the family stays. We assume building a life for themselves until they have to change. They have to leave again. Matthew's story continues. When Herod died, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who are seeking the child's life are dead." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was ruling over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And after being warned in a dream, he went away to the district of Galilee. There he made his home in a town called Nazareth. What must Mary and Joseph have thought of all of these changes, or a 2-year-old, for that matter, uprooting their lives yet again, avoiding and hiding from these powers who were trying to destroy them? Does our dislike, does our apprehension of change seem comparable? What must it be like to be ruled in such a way as the people of Jesus' time? Most of us may have seen or read what that must be like. Many of us have heard stories from people we know of what that must be like. Some of us may have even experienced what this is like. If not politically, then perhaps from a harmful relationship. Some of us may know exactly what it is like to be ruled. In the film The Avengers, the villain Loki, who wishes to dominate the entire world, starts in one country, making the entire people in his presence kneel before him. And he says to those who he has made kneel, "It is the unspoken truth of humanity that you crave subjugation. The bright lure of freedom diminishes your life's joy in a mad scramble for power and for identity. You were made," he says, "to be ruled. In the end, you will always kneel." And at that moment, an elderly man stands up amongst the crowd and he says, "Not to men like you." And Loki says, "There are no men like me." And the old man says, and you can tell from experience, there are always men like you. Whether it is Herod or someone else in our own time. And so, what is our response? What is our response as churches who are often labeled as afraid to change? Because change is uncomfortable. It is scary. It means something different to us in our established mainline denominations versus a small family seeking refuge from a corrupt ruler. And yet, we are still called. Our very existence proclaims that we are to do more than to just come here and sit once a week. Every time I hear this particular song from the group All Sons and Daughters, that is sung very often in our 9:30 or 11 o'clock worship service. It's a beautiful song, but it always convicts me. These are part of the lyrics. I could just sit. I could just sit and wait for your goodness. I could hope to feel your presence. And I could just stay. I could just stay right where I am and hope to feel you. And I could be safe. Oh, I could be safe here in your arms and never leave home, never let these walls down. But you have called me higher. You have called me deeper. And I will go where you will lead me, Lord. We know of Mary's song, the Magnificat. I wonder if maybe these lyrics, maybe something like this, might have been Joseph's song. Or maybe even, dare we suspect, Jesus' song. Because really, is it so illogical or even blasphemous to assume that there may have been times Jesus did not want to go? That maybe he would have been okay staying as a carpenter in a small town? Is it so illogical or blasphemous to consider that Jesus maybe had more than one take this cup away from me experience? Is it blasphemous to think that Jesus does not only answer his call because he is God's son, because he is God incarnate, but perhaps also answers his call because he knows the world needs help? Because if he doesn't, who will? Someone once said, in the absence of genuine leadership, people will listen to anyone who stands up to the microphone. Mary could have stayed. Mary could have stayed when the angel told her what was going to happen. Joseph could have stayed when the angel told him what was going to happen. Jesus could have stayed when he saw John baptizing all those people. Jesus could have stayed in the wilderness. Jesus could have stayed in any number of those small villages and towns where he simply healed people and performed miracles, and everyone treated him like a celebrity, like a hero, like a Messiah. He could have stayed in the garden. But you have called me higher. You have called me deeper. And we shall go where you lead us, Lord. Because in the midst of this, voices still continue to cry out. I know I've shared this before, but it remains true. In the film Superman Returns, Superman comes back to Earth after being gone for 5 years. One of the many things that he learns is that Lois Lane, supposedly the greatest investigative reporter in the world, but still can't figure out that Superman and Clark Kent are the same person, she is about to receive an award for an editorial she wrote, the title being Why the World Does Not Need Superman. And Superman asks her, why did you write that? She says, because the world doesn't need a savior. And Superman literally takes a step back in shock. And then he asks if she'll go flying with him. And he takes her above the streets of Metropolis, and he says, listen, what do you hear? And Lois Lane, who of course represents humanity and our unwillingness to see the truth, our unwillingness to see what is right in front of us, she says, nothing. And Superman says, I can hear everything. You wrote that the world doesn't need a savior, but every day I hear people crying for one. This is not the we have never done it that way before, we're afraid of change sermon. I think we're all over that. At this point, after 2 years, we have all done things we thought we would never do. This is bigger. A couple of weeks ago, leading up to Christmas Eve, I asked some of our staff how they saw people in our church and in our community, how they had been impacted by this Advent season. And I asked, with everything that we had done, had the opportunities of Advent and Christmas, do you think it has given people a sense of peace? And immediately, every single staff member said, no. But what they did say was, I think they have experienced hope. We are in need of hope. Maybe now more than most of us can remember in any other time in our lives, we need the hope of Christmas to continue. And we need leaders to keep us on that path toward hope. We need you. We need all of you. And we need you focused on God's calling for us to go where it is that we need to go to answer the cries of those who need a Savior. Some of us may be asking, well, where are we supposed to be going? What is even our first step? This is a great place to start. Let us pray. Gracious and holy God, it could be so easy, we acknowledge and perhaps even confess, to stay where it is comfortable, where it is traditional, where we know. And yet we continue to remember and experience a story in which our heroes were called out to a place of mystery, to a place of uncertainty, to a place of challenge and hardship, to a place of risk. And so help us to not only enjoy and celebrate this story, but to also to follow its calling as you have placed that call upon each and every one of our lives. We acknowledge that it is not easy. It is frightening at times. But help us to remember that we do not walk this path alone. Help us to remember that you continue to be Emmanuel, God with us, so that we may be with and for and alongside one another. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, who walks with us. Amen. Reverend Ed reminded us this morning as we were preparing for communion that he had the joy and the pleasure of being in the presence and being taught by Reverend Howard Thurman, who's a very famous professor and theologian. If you know Howard Thurman at all, he has a great writing about the work of Christmas, and that when the celebration of Christmas ends, the work of Christmas begins. We continue in these lights of hope and peace and joy, love, knowing that Christ incarnate, God incarnate, is at the center of it, but that light goes forward for us to do the work we have been called to do. It is not easy work. It is very hard and uncertain, but we do not do this work alone. We go out to those who are crying out for a Savior, and we offer the bread, the cup, the table, and the story. So go tell it on the mountain. Go be it on the mountain. And may we start this new year saying to the world, God hears you and God responds. And may you not only go in peace, may you go in hope. Amen.